Good evening, Baltimore, and hello, America. Welcome to the Relationship Experience. This is Radio for Your Life here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM. I'm your host, Changa Bell. Man, we have a lot to talk about. I'm just so glad that you're here taking this ride with me. If you're in your car, turn it up. If you're in front of your house, don't go in and wrestle with the kids. Just park and sit back. We're going to talk about some interesting topics today. Before I get into that, I want to give a quick shout out. Tonight, our topic is going to be about compassion fatigue. But I want to talk about passion fatigue. So my daughter, she graduates BSA. I just came from her concert. And when I tell you, family, that she let it all out on that stage, And she suffers from stress seizures. And so she felt like she was about to have one right before the event. And I just want to say congratulations to her son, Isabel, because you lit it up. You lit that stage. I cried in the audience, y'all. I'm not even going to lie. Anyway, that's my personal little story. You can find all WEAA podcasts on WEAA.org. So for this show and many shows like it, you'll find it there. But I want you all to start to download the app. We have this WEAA app that's amazing. It is just like the radio website. It's easy interface. You can dial up on the touch of your thumb. You can listen to it in the car, plug it into your auxiliary, whatever you got going on. Take us with you in your pocket everywhere you go. Some announcements this week. We have the Adult Wellness Playground. Yours truly at the Sunlight and Yoga Wellness. That's at 4639 Falls Road. Come through. Get some wellness going on. It is a semi-exclusive event, so you got to hit us at spot@changabell.com or go to reradioshow.com for more information. You can also follow me, your host, on @changabell at Twitter and @changabell on Facebook. So we're going to talk tonight, like I said, with Cheryl Riviere. She's a, did I say your name right, Cheryl?
Riviere.
Dang, I can't read. Cheryl Riviere. She's a Morgan State alum.
Woo-hoo.
Yes. And she works with Fresh Start. She's the program director of Fresh Start Living Classrooms. And this is a program, I'll try to make the introduction myself, but you fill in the blanks. It's a program that works with juvenile offenders, giving them trade development in terms of carpentry. And I also work with the program as a Black Male Yoga Initiative, supporting the program with mindfulness and yoga. She is an amazing person. She gives her heart, and she deals with tough love, but love overall, which is why we have this topic tonight of compassion fatigue. Cheryl, introduce yourself and maybe say a few things about the program that I did.
Hi, my name is Cheryl Riviere, like Changa said, and I work for one of the best, fantabulous,
yeah, there you go,
awesome program that serve young males ages 16 to 19. And what we do at Living Classrooms Foundation Fresh Start Program is we provide them with vocational training, academic remediation, leadership skills, and about a year ago, we start our emotional wellness component of the program. And that's when we invited Changa to come in and work with our guys and do yoga and mindfulness. I like to say that at Fresh Start, we use woodworking to teach a variety of skills. And I like to say we're not training woodworkers as much as we want to train good workers. I have been working with the program for the past 9 years. And I tell the guys all the time that working at Fresh Start is not just a job. It is a way of life. And this is my life working with these at-risk or evolving.
Yeah, air quotes around that at risk, right?
Evolving young men who reside in Baltimore City.
Yeah, because that whole at risk thing, I think we're all at risk. And that's what I tell them all the time. So compassion fatigue, so that I want to make this relevant to you as a listener. If you're listening, why is it relevant? We're going to talk about kids. One, because kids are our future. And these kids are like young men. They're adults because of the trauma that they've been through. But compassion fatigue, the definition reads like this. It's a state experienced by those helping people. And unfortunately, this definition says, or animals in distress, and is an extreme state of tension and preoccupation with the suffering of those being helped to the degree that it can create a secondary traumatic stress for the helper. So in other words, you'll take on, it's like being too empathetic. And I have firsthand knowledge of that because, you know, ER records will show that I was in there a lot a couple years ago because I couldn't help but take on the stories of some of these young men. We won't speak specifically about the young men's names tonight. We'll mm-hmm. protect them as their minors. But it's kind of hard to look in the eyes of these folks. If you're on the front line, if you're listening and you work in church groups or in just any kind of youth group, you see that the youth of the day, they're crying out behind their eyes. They just want love. They want compassion. They want empathy. And an important thing is a conjunction. A conjunction is different between talking to someone and speaking with someone. Mm-hmm. I always make the distinction to speak with these young men or any of the young folks that I'm working with, just people in general, but especially the young men, so that there's when you're speaking with someone, there's always a built-in amount of respect. There's not like a platform that you're speaking to, denigrating and not appreciating who they are. So I want to invite you to join the discussion as we start to get a little deeper into it at 410-319-8888. Join in on the discussion. So we're talking about this compassion fatigue. And Cheryl, so I want to know what motivates you. So when I met you, there was a particular young man who's not here anymore. And it is plenty, unfortunately, even today in our circle, you know, Mr. Jim works with, he said there was 13 funerals he's been to the point where he won't go anymore. Mm-hmm. So you imagine there's a connection that has to come from working so closely. And these are our Baltimore youth. I want to get that across to the listeners. And how do you deal with that? What keeps you going in this kind of work?
I think what keeps me going is I have to stay grounded. Because if I'm not grounded, I tell you, some days I'd probably be all over the place. I have to stay grounded and I have to remember the mission that I'm on. Mm-hmm. Like I said, serving and working with these young men is not just a job. This is my life work. So I think being grounded, knowing that, listen, I got to do this. I got to get through these young men. Because like you said, our guys are crying out. Mm-hmm. And they use their anger, their posturing, mm-hmm. and everything else to like build up this wall. But in all actuality, that 16-year-old that you may think is this grown man, and they like to say, I'm a grown man, I'm mm-hmm. a grown man, they're not. Right. They actually, when you get to know them and you actually sit down and you talk to them and you look them in the eyes, you see a 10-year-old who did not get to live out right. his life as a 10-year-old because right. he had to grow up real quick.
Right.
So staying grounded and knowing that this is my life work, and I like to tell the guys them that don't blink. Keep your eyes on the prize. And my prize is just making sure that I have touched enough guys. They may have not. I may have not seen it right away, mm-hmm. but I can't tell you how many guys come back like 2-3 years later. Ms. Cheryl, remember when you told me this? I remember that.
So have you experienced compassion fatigue yourself?
Has
there been a time where you're almost on the verge of a nervous breakdown, or maybe thought to yourself, you know, I'm getting up and I'm handing in my resignation this morning. Like, what did compassion fatigue look like for you in your body?
Last October, we lost one of our guys, and mm-hmm. I was really close to this guy. Mm-hmm. And I was off that day, and I got like a million phone calls from all the kids because I got my cell phone number. And I called one, and I was like, Ms. Cheryl, did you hear? I was like, yeah. And I think at that point, I just started questioning myself. Mm-hmm. Did I not do this for him? Did we not put this service here for him? Did we do that? Did I call him that day when I told him I was going to call right. him back? So I started questioning myself and went to his funeral. And at the day of his funeral, when I came back to work, that was the first time, and I've been doing this work a long time, that I felt that I can't do this anymore. Mm-hmm. I can't do this anymore.
Yeah, and you know what's interesting is you know, even today when I was down there with the program and talking to the guys, they believe in their heart of hearts that they're already dead. A lot of times they'll say, well, you know, they use the term dummy. Like when we were growing up as yo or, you know,
yeah.
or dog. And now, unfortunately, it's dummy. So they're like, nah, dummy, you from Baltimore. You were already dead. Like,
yes.
It doesn't matter. So I think this sort of almost this hopelessness that's there. But it has to be. I read somewhere recently that Stanford did a study that when someone close to you says something negative like, oh, you'll never be that or you can't be that, that it takes 16 people before that is reversed in your brain. So on that 17th person, it gets reversed that, oh, you actually can do that or you will amount to something. So when you have your peer group, potentially your family and other folks close to you telling you this, if you're not sharing that story, you won't even get to second, third, fourth. You won't get those other people to reverse it. And then even if you do, those other people close to you, maybe it's an uncle this time, maybe someone is still repeating this negative sort of confirmation about who you are, why you are. So it is really heartfelt work. I would encourage any social worker listening right now or any teacher listening to call in with sort of your testimony, your story. We'll talk tips, tools, and solutions in a minute. But for right now, I still want to give the framework. So you come into work, you feel like I don't want to use words for you, but I'm guessing maybe empty inside. And give us a feeling what that feels like in your body, and then we'll talk about how you sort of broke through that.
So the next day I came back to work, and I did feel empty. I think I just sat there and stared at the computer for the whole 8 hours. And I kept on thinking, like, are we doing enough? Are we actually doing enough to try to save these guys? Mm-hmm. And I think I went like that for at least 2 days. And then you and I had a conversation. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you talked about, you didn't say it in a word, but who heals the healer,
right,
in a sense?
Yeah.
Who heals the healer? Because every day, and you told me, you said, you got to stop and think about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And I started doing that, and I started writing, getting mm-hmm. my thoughts down on paper, getting my thoughts down. And then I felt like the writing part helped a lot. And I think coming back and saying that, okay, I got to get back focused because mm-hmm. this is my life work. Let me keep on pushing and trying. And I think the guys in the program, they kind of helped me
mm-hmm.
heal. You know, they come in, you know, I give them a hug. Sometimes at first they like, why are you doing that? But then they started like, you good, Michelle? Let me give you a hug. So they helped my healing process a lot besides writing, keeping myself focused, knowing that this is my life work. And I think for people who do this work, we always have to check out.
Mm-hmm. To an extent. When you say check out, what do you mean by that?
Step back.
Yes, okay.
Step back.
Mm-hmm.
Find yourself, find your peace, because you can take it home and it can right. it can really, really consume you with all the struggles that these kids at 16, 17 are going through. When I was 16, 17, I didn't have to maneuver in right. life like this.
To navigate like
bullets. To navigate and not eating and right. not knowing what proper hygiene is. Like, you know yeah. what I mean? The simple basics of life. Like, I didn't have to do that because I had family who taught me that. Like, even if it was my mom, it was somebody else. So I had to learn how to manage myself. The guys them helped me out. And I said from this day forward, I need to check out more often than yeah, I do. Yeah. Like, I need to check out at least every other day.
Sure, and I think a lot of us do, and you know, and I'm not making shameless plugs. That is one of the reasons we're having this adult wellness playground. It's mostly teachers that are coming. The Black TFA is sponsoring it. And, you know, it's needed to take a step back, because if you're not well, then you're going to infect others that you're meaning to serve well. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to The Relationship Experience. I'm your host, Changa Bell. This is on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM, the voice of the community. We have Cheryl Riveri.
Riviere.
See, I'm going to just call it that. I just can't get the French Riviera out of my mind. of a Fresh Start Living Classrooms. She's the program director for Fresh Start, which is sponsored by Living Classrooms. And their program helps our mostly black male youth, although there's been Big Bubba, I nicknamed him, I won't use
yes,
his name.
Yes.
And Black Matt, what was his nickname?
Not.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
So it serves youth of Baltimore. So that's another thing I want to get it twisted when we think of, don't want to get it twisted, when we think of vulnerable youth, quote unquote, inner city urban youth, it's not just African American boys. It is just our boys, any of our kids. Today in a circle, a young man said, you know, he'd do anything because his son has to eat, mm-hmm. right? And then I mentioned, I heard where he lived. I said, well, my daughter lives around the corner from you. And so the reason I'm here and not with my own kids right now is because you'll realize that you have to fix the soil of your whole garden. I just can't focus on just my kids. I can't go stick people up just so that my daughter can eat because she lives around the corner from you. So if I'm not working on the soil, that flower can't grow. So mm-hmm. it's like we're in an environment in the community because a lot of times they have this, I just got to eat mentality, et cetera, et cetera. But one thing you said a couple of times that I'd love for you to unpack a little bit. In the words of
You're trying to unpack me, Mr. Bell.
Hey, just a little bit. You know, because I marvel, like my brother David Miller of Dare to Be King Project.
Yes.
I mean, he has been doing this work for
so long. I'm familiar with David.
Yes, the brother should have gray hair
yes.
all on his head, and he's such a soldier.
He has that thing where he's the icebreaker where he says unpack.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes. And see, and so David is always on this station, this program. And, you know, there's no bigger champion for this city than him. But you mentioned that this is your life's work a couple of times already in just a few minutes we've been on. How do you know it's your life's work? Did you get a call? Did a voice hit your head like God talked to Noah? Like, how did you know it was your life work?
'Cause I was one of those kids.
Mm.
I had a strong family, but I don't know. Trouble always followed me.
I can't imagine that. Like, he said that with a big grin afterwards. I can't. I need to take a picture and send it out on the radio.
And I always like to tell this story of when I had to go to college, and I went to my guidance counselor, and I said to her, I want to go to Morgan State University. And she looked at me and she said, Morgan State do not accept hoodlums like you.
Wow.
And I said, okay. I did my little switch. I told her a lot of words that I shouldn't have told her.
Right.
And I went out of her office. So I had somebody go in her office, get me the application. I sent out the application on my own. And I asked her when the SAT prep class was. She sent me on a wrong day.
Wow.
And
so she was committed to disrupting your life.
Yes. And then I came to Morgan, befriended someone, mm-hmm. and it was her niece.
Wow. See how that karma works?
It was her niece. And I realized this because do you know how many black boys this has happened to?
Right, exactly.
And it hit me that you have kids who they just give up on and it's nobody there to help them navigate through life. And
exactly.
They just like, man, this kid is not going to do anything. They hard-headed, they this, they that. And they just like, I don't want to deal with them.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the boys that come to our program are boys who people just don't want to deal with.
Right.
And I realized that that was me, and that's what I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
I want to help kids who people don't want to deal with and let them know that you got a chance out there. Like, you can do this. You mm-hmm. can do this. You can make it. It's not just this four block radius that you live in. Like, you can make this. You can do this. And that is why it's my life work.
Mm-hmm. That's a beautiful sentiment. I mean, it's, again, I'm sure there are like firefighters, police officers, teachers, social workers. I know the social work community is hurting because I was up in that system for a while supporting, you know, a mindfulness growth and awareness there. And it's really a painful, painful situation. If you have a story you'd like to share, you can get on the air with us at 410-319-8888. Talk about it. We want to talk about how to heal and also what was your breakthrough. So on a relationship experience, we like to take people from an external locus of control to an internal one, if they're even experiencing or even aware of that level in the first place. So that shift is about going from victimization to manifestation, knowing that just like you had an epiphany. Oprah used to call it an aha moment, where somewhere in your life you're like, you know what, this dawns on me, this is what my purpose is, this is how I want to move in the world. And so particularly in these distressed communities, because I think that's a more accurate term, you know, in a medical profession, it's interesting that we'll treat like the symptoms and not go for the cause, right? And it's the same thing we do socially. If there's a sickness, we incarcerate, we agitate, we cage, but at sort of the root cause of a lot of these isms. So with these youth in particular, and at some point I got to have you back and bring a couple of the guys with you.
Are you sure, Chana?
Yes. Some of the PG rated would be good. But let's take a call. It looks like we have a couple of callers in. Hopefully I'm saying his name right, Mahina. If I'm saying your name wrong, please correct me. You're on the Relationship Experience with Cheryl Rivera.
Riviere
and Changa Bell. What's your question or comment? Mo?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, and how do you pronounce your name?
Masina.
Mahina?
Masina.
Masina. Oh, they didn't spell that right at all. All right. So I apologize, Masina. Go ahead. What's your question or comment?
No problem. First off, I just wanted to say to both of you that I love, love, love this conversation. And my comment is regarding this compassion fatigue is that, you know, my mother's been a social worker my entire life, just about. I'm knocking on the door at 35. Mm-hmm. And at 12, I realized I did not want to do social work because I was like, you mean you can't take them home? You can't? No, there has to be some other way. But somehow I ended up working at a rape crisis center for the last decade of my life. And before then, watching my middle schoolers disclose stories around sexual assault and violence. Watching and listening and having the tears and having those emotions come at you when you're having young people talk about what it's like to have to go to funerals.
Right.
So those of us who are in this work, as you all were saying, not only do we have to support each other, stick together, and offer that love and compassion, we have to do it because it's vital that we keep doing the work. And nobody knows it. We get 10, 15, 20, 30, 40 years in. And there's so much that we know about how to maneuver, and we're so much better at it now, but we're burned out.
Yes.
But we're run down. And we have given from our empty cup for so long, we have to find the places, conversations like this, to refill. And for all of us to know that you are not alone, you're not by yourself, you have value, you have worth. I'll close off with this. My experience, probably when I was about 23, 24, too early to get burned out, but I still was. I remember having an experience where I felt like I wasn't getting through to my middle schoolers. I had taken over a group of girls that were in a middle school program in East Baltimore. And I thought I was showing up every day, showing up as my best self, giving them my everything. And they still were cussing each other out. They still were acting crazy. And it was me and 40 girls. And I just felt like I was completely inadequate. And so I ran away. And I said, I can't do this anymore. The only thing that brought me back to the work was that very same day. I realized it, you know, years later, but that same day, one of the girls who were, of course, the wildest, showed up at my car the day I cried so hard. She showed up at my car. She leaned into my window, and I could still see her strawberry blonde hair. I could still see her yellow shirt leaning into my window saying, "Miss Mathaniel, we're sorry. We didn't mean to be that bad today. When you come back, we'll be better." And so sometimes when you think you're just not making it, that is the experience that lets us know you've made a dent, you've planted a seed, and for the rest of the community to show up and just water and nurture and protect that seed is critical. So thank you all for the conversation. Chang, it's always great hearing you. I'm honored.
Yeah, thank you, Masana.
That
was beautiful. Thank you for that comment.
Okay.
And to Masana's point, that's what my wife always has that saying. She says, when we heal, we don't heal alone. So I agree. We have one more caller on that we can get in before the break. Jim, you're on the line. This is the Relationship Experience. You're on with Cheryl Rivera.
Riviere.
Somebody spell
how's
that.
How are you doing tonight?
And Changa, Changa Bell. Hey, Jim.
Hey, Changa. How you doing today, buddy?
Oh, hey.
Hey, Mr. Jim.
Hey. like to put
Hey, listen, I love the show. You know how much I love both of you guys. Today's, you know, men's group, you know, ran 2.5 hours. I mean, I really think that we made some breakthroughs. And for the first time since we've been doing it with our really, you know, solid cohort of grown you-know-what men, I mean, I think we finally were getting through to the boys.
Yes.
Because, you know, the four, you know, adult men that were, you know, kind of facilitating today, I mean, we're all from here. That's the cool thing. We've all had our ups and downs when we were younger, certainly. And I think that's why all four of us were drawn to the work. But it was amazing today just to have the kids listen to us for a change. The lady that's sitting next to you, should be no secret what a fan I am of hers. And I hope that everybody that's listening tonight, and I wish there were, you know, millions more.
I'm a fan of you too, Mr. Jim.
Oh, absolutely. Well, dang. I'm your favorite Irishman, and you're my favorite island girl. But hey, listen, the work we do, you know, Cheryl and I both, we talk about it to the kids, you know. Kanga, yourself too. I mean, damn, we could be making way more money than we're making, but we're doing the work we do for a reason. I got a quick anecdote, and then I'll hang up and let you get moving. But a couple years back, had some board members that were kind of like my same age, and maybe we knew a few of the same dudes from the neighborhood I live in. And question, Mr. Jim, what's your secret to working with these boys? And these guys were, you know, white, you know, Ivy League educated, but good guys. I mean, their hearts were in it, you know, helping the community. But they said, what's your secret? And I was like, dude, what are you talking about? My secret is I treat them the same way I treat my own children.
There you go.
You know, my daughter will be 18 tomorrow, which I can't believe.
Yeah, it's happy,
you know,
birthday.
My son's 16, but, you know, Cheryl knows. I mean, I talked to the kids. I said, hey, you know, man, I'm from here just like you, you know? And
that's true.
Stakeholdership. What a blessing, Changa, to have the, you know, to be part of your circle, and for you to have this. Well, you have many forums, bro, but to have this forum where we can really reach out to, you know, a lot more people than we can, you know, just spreading the good word, you know, down in Fells Point or wherever. I mean, man, and anybody listening, can I do a shameless plug?
Really quick, Mr. Jim, okay. We're going to have to bring you in studio
all
next
right.
time.
I'd love to come. Fells Point Farmers Market, Saturday, Dock Street, Fells Point. Mr. Jim and two highly motivated students selling handcrafted products made by the students, sold by the students. Love you both. Great show. I'm listening to the end. And can't thank you enough for having me on.
All right.
Thank you, Mr. Jim.
Love you back, Mr. Jim. And happy birthday to your daughter. You're always talking about her. And I know she feels that love and that same love you give to the students. And I think Jim brings up a good point. So, you know, he's the only white man in Baltimore I know that they call the N triple trigger word regularly down there.
Yes.
And it's so odd. He's just like, hey, what I tell you about using that word? I feel like I'm on an odd episode of Different Strokes or something. But you can see that he gives genuinely of himself, and I think that's why the guys respond to him so well. So we're going to go to break. When we get back from break, we're going to talk about some tools, tips, and things that you can do. Please continue to join in the conversation. You're listening to The Relationship Experience here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM, the voice of the community. Do our affirmation a little different today. Keep that mask off rolling. So is your cup half empty or is it half full? There's power in your perception and vision. Say with me now this affirmation to bring your awareness to universal love that we may all see with the eyes of God clearly and beautifully in our relationships. Are you ready? I am the essence of the universe. I am peace. I am the peace I have been searching for. I express unconditional love, trust, and respect to myself and others, as this is what the universe provides to me. It's our daily affirmation for today. Welcome back to the Relationship Experience on your source for cool jazz and more. I'm your host, Changa Bell. In studio, we have Cheryl Riviere.
You got it.
Program Director for Fresh Start Living Classrooms. We have been talking live in studio about the lives of our young men, specifically the lives of young black men, but not to the point. It's just to the point that institutional racism sort of railroads them in the juvenile justice system, but all men. So I want to make sure that we include that because my man Bubba is on hard times just like anybody else, and he's a cool brother. And any young person out there, whether you're Latino, Asian, just if you're in a sort of a vulnerable community, as they call it, which basically means impoverished. I don't know why we try to skirt around and be nice about these terms. If you're poor, I didn't find out I was poor until I went to Hampton University. Then I found out I was working poor. Once I got there and everybody had like Beamers and Benzes, I was like, wait, what happened? You know, so I had a reality check. But we were talking here in the relationship about compassion fatigue and how, you know, the work that we do may not initially be what we think it is. So school teacher, when I was a neighborhood teacher at Northwestern, I didn't realize it was really going to be the role of a social worker. I really went in, I would feed a lot of my kids, I'd coach a lot of my kids and talk with them about life situations, mentor them. And a lot of the kids that I stuck with, that was back in 2008, we're still friends. We still see each other regularly. I try to help them out with life. I go to Goodwill, buy, you know, utensils, whatever. So, Michelle, we were talking about this group of young men that you have done a Fresh Start and how, you know, it's not that they're really vulnerable. It's just that they haven't been given the safe space to be vulnerable. So one of the ways, and I love your leadership, is how I got to you. So what started to influence you to look for other ways to partner up with organizations, and not just my own, but you can talk about some of the other partnerships you've made and what kind of arc of development you've seen because of that.
So the whole aim of Fresh Start is we guarantee the young men a job at the end of the 40 weeks. No program guaranteeing your job.
You have a lot of vendors, too. I didn't mean to cut you off.
Yes.
How many vendors have...
I mean, I don't know. It just has a lot of people who know that once a young man go through our program, you know, they are coming out with the skills necessary to maneuver and to become a good worker.
I think it's like 140 members on deck. That's what Mr. Will Holmes said today. He said 140 job partners that you can offer the young men that go through your program.
Yes. And... So what we were seeing is that they went through the program. We are finding them jobs. They're getting a high school diploma. And we're finding them jobs. And then we're saying, okay, here's this job. Go forth. Mm-hmm. And as soon as they leave us, they started, I like to say, stumbling a little bit.
Yeah, of course.
So I sat down and I'm like, okay. It's just like we're working on everything else, but we're not working on the emotional wellness of these guys. Mm-hmm. Because I like to say that at Fresh Start, they get a balanced meal. Mm-hmm. They're getting fed right. And then when they go out in the community, they might have the red dye number 9 juice. Mm-hmm. And how can we equip them with the skills so that they can manage themselves emotionally? So I was speaking to someone and I said, you know what? I need to get yoga and mindfulness. I took yoga when I was pregnant. Pregnancy was hard for me. And I found that that was the best time in my life. Like, you know, and then I told you, like, afterwards, I realized I didn't really like yoga. But it helped me through that
traumatic sort of time. Yeah, sure.
In my life. So somebody told me about you, and I said, okay. And then the first conversation, we hit it off. And I said, okay, I'm going to get yoga and mindfulness here at the program. Then from yoga and mindfulness, I said, we're working with emotional wellness, emotional health. We partner with another program, nonprofit called Mission Fit. And the whole idea of Mission Fit is to provide physical fitness and training to these underserved kids in the community. And then we said, okay.
Systematically underserved.
Systematically.
I just want to say that because it's a system that does it. And system, you are listening. Government officials, you are listening. We want to hold you accountable to that. It's not that people magically wake up impoverished, magically wake up underserved, magically wake up not wanting to do better for themselves, magically wake up unintelligent. They are systematically disenfranchised. So just, I don't even like using that word, underserved. And while I'm on it, since I'm on the roll, let me give a big shout out to, because Baltimore has responded well. Like a lot of us, we still want to hold on to these false notions of everybody's isms, racism, whatever. But there, Clark Burger has stepped up. Sticky Rice has stepped up. Point South, Captain Larry's, Mount Washington Tavern, all of these restaurants, and they didn't do it for any kind of advertising. This is the first time I ever said it out loud. Just a big thank you to them because they stepped up and feed the young men during our mindfulness and yoga sessions. I can call them on the phone at any minute. They'll say how many lunches, and they give good stuff. They're not giving, you know, the leftovers. They're not giving the crumbs, as Langston Hughes talked about in his poem Luck. They give the quality bacon.
Yes.
Chicken burgers. So just thank you to any of those restaurants affiliated and anyone that wants to support Fresh Starts or Black Male Yoga Initiative, please log on to www.bmyi.org and support these young men. It doesn't matter if they're the same color as you. Doesn't matter if they're the same economic bracket as you. We want to toil the soil. We want to fix the community, Baltimore as a whole. So sorry, I just had to step in and say that.
What I decided to say, I said, you know what, let me get, and forgot one thing. We also partner with Healthy Lives to provide our young men with substance abuse and mental health groups. Because this substance abuse problem with our young men in Baltimore City is off the chains. And that's a whole nother show and conversation. Right. And so we decided to put all these things in place. So at Fresh Start, we're providing you with academic training. We're providing you with vocational training, with carpentry. We guarantee you a job, you know, once you complete and you stick it through, we're going to guarantee you a job. We're giving you all the support services. If you need anything, we jump on the phone, we get it. We're just a one-stop shop. And then now I feel like we came full circle with all these other services. So we've had guys who have said, I'm never going to stop getting high. I don't care what you guys do. I don't care what happened. I'm not going to stop getting high. Mm-hmm. We've had guys who said, yoga, that's a girl thing. I'm not doing yoga. All of these services have made such a had such a tremendous impact that the same guy who said he never stopped smoking, he don't care what, stopped and got a job.
Right.
The guys them have come to us and said, Mr. Changa, you know, what we did in mindfulness, that meditating, like I had an incident on the street. And I went ahead and I just like did what you said. And like that really saved my life that day. So all these things, and it's been having a great impact that I made a joke and I said, Mr. Changa is not coming back. And he said, what we do to him? Like, why he's not coming back? Because they are experiencing something they never would have had an opportunity to experience before. And or they had like a misconception of what they thought yoga was or mindfulness. Oh, that's not for us. But giving them that experience, it's given them an alternative to manage, because a lot of it is self-management. And what they said, Ms. Cheryl, I have never been taught how to manage my emotion.
Amen. And it's self-management tools without judgment. The thing, and that's that with and not to. So even when they act up, act crazy, and, you know, what I might call crazy and say, start, you know, cursing or getting angry, I don't, you know, give that the attention of shock value. I don't give it the attention of reprimanding. We just let that energy exist. That energy has to get out. Nowhere is it allowed. And I want to make a call, a challenge to other men out there, specifically men of color, to join organizations like Project NUMA, to join organizations like the Black Male Yoga Initiative, and come in and support and mentor. It's not always volunteer. It's not always free. If you're home and you're disenfranchised, maybe you don't have a job, but you got a big heart, call us up. You know, we have to fight for that grant money, and not a lot of it has come through the door, but that is going to change soon. Also, if you are listening, you are listening to The Relationship Experience. If you are on your app, you're listening to The Relationship Experience. You should see that down in that lower quadrant. I'm your host, Changa Bell. You're on with Cheryl Riviere, Fresh Start Living Classrooms. You're on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM. Call in, join the conversation. We're talking about compassion fatigue, but we're talking about particularly in serving the young folks of the city, who the ones that get sort of railroaded and ostracized and quadrant up, in large part, is usually African-American men. I don't want to marginalize and say that it's only them, but it's young African-American boys. I know it led greatly to the decision for me to homeschool, because that sector of our society doesn't always have, you know, the best intentions. But there, like I said a minute ago, there are several private organizations, private groups that support good intentions for human beings across the board. So really, we're about saving our humanity. So, Michelle, you talked about all of that great stuff that, you know, your leadership brought in these collaborative partners. But how about you? What are you doing for you and your staff, or what things are you looking to do? Because as this topic is centering around compassion fatigue, and you sort of unpacked earlier and talked about how you were drained at the loss of life of one of the particular students, and, you know, sort of yoga teaches you that this concept of pratyahara, so that you stay sort of disassociated, almost not apathetic, but disassociated. So we can guess that probably a challenge like that is going to come again.
Yes.
Unfortunately. So yes. How are you preparing for that now? What are you doing mentally to prepare? What are you doing training-wise to do the staff, or have you made a plan for that yet?
So with staff every day, we have a debrief session after noon, and you've seen it before, where mm-hmm. all of us just come together and we debrief for the day. Because this is hard and challenging work, but it's worthwhile work. I think the debriefing part is the... is very important, because we get to share our own stresses and our own frustrations for the day and support each other as much as possible. That's one way that we deal with, try to mm-hmm. unpack. And my other thing is, like, you and I have talked about it, and it's in the works, to try to have our own heal-to-healer session mm-hmm. with my staff, and getting them out somewhere and really talking and getting it out, because all of us, because we do this work, we have a compassion, but it does tear away from our inside sometimes, and we do need to debrief. But I think one of the biggest thing is sometimes we do have to check out, and it's good to have a good supporting team. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? I call my team the A team. I'm going to do a shameless plug to my staff.
Yeah, no, go ahead.
Will,
that's not shameless.
Miss Will, Mr. Will, Shantae, and Mr. Brian Furr, and Mr. Jim, who was here earlier. I think I have one of the most fabulous team in the city that I work
Brian
with.
Brian Furr is another Morgan alum.
That's yes, another. He is so a Morgan alum. Morgan right. Doing big things.
Yeah, shout out to the Bears, of course.
Yes.
40 years. WEAA.
Yes. So I think the other thing too, I think the support that we lend to each other as a team mm-hmm. has helped us through yes. a lot of things, and help us with the compassion fatigue and our ability to support each other has been really, really good too.
So I'm hearing you say a very important thing. So part of the reason I like to use this platform to so that people find out about organizations like you, and also to the listening public, if you have an organization or you're working with an organization, we have our topics themed out for the year. This month is breakthrough. Then we have tech and creativity, et cetera. But contact Devonna Bell, the producer of the show. You can get that on www.reradioshow.com, or you can hit, if you feel like typing, therelationshipexperience.com. It'll all take you there. Contact us. We like to share this information so that we learn, so that when we heal, we don't heal alone. So if you're listening to Cheryl speak about what they do at Fresh Start, you may have a program that has similar components to it. And so this team building, this quiet space. I know at Sunlight and Yoga and with the Black Male Yoga Initiative, we offer tech-free retreats where we make everybody throw their phones in a basket. We go out to Western Maryland on a nice a veranda, and we do these yoga mindfulness and just at-ease techniques. There can be wine involved in that, too, if the organization would like. But mainly it's meant to unplug and unpack. So I'm here. You talking about unplugging, unpacking, support staff, morale. What else? What else are we missing in terms of supporting one another and dealing with young men? How do you deal with, like, I'm going to share one little piece of testimony. I know a couple of weeks ago, one of the students, we won't say the name, but was actually shot at in the morning before they came in. So if you can imagine that kind of trauma, like, for me, it's just avoiding traffic. Well, two things I think were important about that story. One, he was shot at, but two, he still came into your program. And from what I understand, he had to go change and get dressed and was very shook up. How do you deal with that? What's in place to deal with such trauma like that?
So it goes back to my staff. So we read each other. So when the kid came in, automatically they start. We greet every kid as soon as they come in, and we can see in the face, and we automatically like try to not isolate, but give him a space so that he can calm down. Came in the office, debrief with that kid, find out what was going on, call his support network, mom, let her know what was going on, let her know that we came in, call his DGS case manager to try to figure out a safety plan for that kid. But for the rest of the day, we constantly did check in with that kid. And he had an all right day, but it was a lot because I was on his mind constantly. So it's a lot of steps and procedures. We have to do documentation, everything. But the thing is making sure that kid is okay for that day. Right. So constant check-in. If we see, let them have a moment to themselves, sit out, get some water, breathe. And that's how we dealt with that kid. And that's how we deal with any kids who come in and who have experienced some sort of trauma or have stuff going on. I tell people all the time, I've been doing this work for so long, nothing that happens, I don't know if I'm immune to it, surprises me.
Right. and it's also why, if you're doing this work, and it's sort of some of my criticisms of organizations like TFA, that they can't prepare their teachers to come in from rural Iowa and expect to be able to support some kids like this. So I don't judge. And I had an interaction with that young man that day myself, and where we could have taken it there to some higher level, I didn't even have to have anybody pull me aside and say, hey, he went through this. Never coming with any judgment, always trying to come with respect. Not taking the high road, which is still phony. Mm-hmm. That's saying that inside you still have some animosity, something ugly you want to get down and dirty. Never that. It's just that even though this is a man-sized child, still a child, still always connecting in the eyes, looking through and identifying with that sort of youth and vulnerability. So it's amazing to see that young man still around and still being just as boisterous and loud and obnoxious as he wants to be. But he had several breakthroughs, as Mr. Jim alluded to today. He had a very good breakthrough asking questions. And, you know, I'm starting to see a little glimmer of hope. Certain people don't have that hope in their eyes.
No.
And so how can we, show up for them every day and sort of ready ourselves. We have to clean. You know, I know scripture talks about that, cleaning the house or else, and be careful what you put in there or seven times worth the demons and dust and destruction that was in there before it can enter in. So cleaning the house and renewing. So how, sort of that final area that we'll talk about, how do you renew your spirit? So you talk about cleaning, being able to unpack, purging through writing, purging through support staff. What's one way you renew you? Because one thing you don't know about Michelle, because you can't see it right now, she, other than being from the West Indies, she has a very dynamic and open smile, a very inviting smile. So I can't imagine some lady told you when you were a young girl that you couldn't go to Morgan, that you were a hoodlum. It's amazing. So how do you renew your spirit?
I go to the beach. I have to. I mean, I'm seriously. Yeah. At least once a year, I have to jump on a plane and go to St. Thomas and hit the beach.
Mm-hmm.
And
when
you
say hit it, would you literally go up and smack the water?
No, I literally would stay at the beach. My mom laughs. I would be there from 11 o'clock and I would not come back home until about 6 in the evening.
Mm-hmm.
And I would do that every single day.
Wow.
Just going in the water and feeling that fresh water on you, and it's like hitting you and going underneath and coming back up it and just sitting in the wind. I mean, that is how I renew. I have to feel sand on my feet at least once a year. That is
sand on my, and that's so poetic. And so that is the important takeaway. So like I said, I like to sort of in the first part of the show give the framework, give the backstory, give the origin story, how we become who we are and doing the work we do. But what's real important are the takeaways. So the renewing spirit is not just enough to partner up and you know, empathy loves company just like misery does. So it's teamwork is part of it, supporting. Creating a circle of support is definitely a part of it. Having a game plan in place. These are the points. So if you're driving, I know you can't write it down, start talking into your phone or something, or call. Do like I do. I call whatever family member. I say, take this down, please. You know, I make everybody into an assistant. It's rude, but it's helpful. So having that support staff, having that plan in place. But then the most critical part that I want everyone to take away from today is having something to renew your spirit. Because you can cleanse, but what is going to get in? If you just listen to your trap music and go work out and get your muscles all hard, that's not renewing your spirit. That's making you more recalcitrant, more hard, and more callous. And that's not what any of us need in this city. So before we close...
one other thing I like to do.
Say that, and then after you say what that last thing is, can just anybody get in your program or, you know, give some information about how to get in a fresh start? So first you're going to lead off with.
So another thing I do is I am a carnival Jumbie.
Ah.
So I love jumping up in my costume. And that's another way that I renew too. And my friends, if they're listening, they're probably laughing right now.
So that's
now.
What people do. They're carnival. They're just
Jumbie.
Renewing. It don't look like you're renewing spirit to somebody from Baltimore. It look like a place I need to be. Because there's some outfits going on and there's a lot of stuff happening. And I've never been. And I'm looking at my wife now to see if I can go. So you renew spirit doing that.
Yes, you do.
I'm
going to
go renew and bathe in the waters. of Lake Minnetonka this year.
Oh, is that from Prince?
Yes, it is.
From right.
I'm going to renew my carnival. So, yeah, so it's very subjective. It's very personal on
yes.
how you renew your spirit. So that's a great thing to know. It's a movement and joy. That brings you joy, I would guess?
Yes, it does.
All right.
It does.
So how can people get in the program, or how can they send, if it's only through juvenile services, that's fine too, because there are plenty of people that have that connection. Tell us about how to get in the contact.
So our program, we accept referrals from Department of Juvenile Services and Department of Social Services. So if you have anyone who might benefit from our program, they will have to go through their DJS case manager to get in to the Living Classrooms Fresh Start program.
Well, Cheryl, you know, I don't get to see enough of you. I'm there like twice a week and there with you and your staff. I thank you so much for coming in to share your information on how you do the work you do and sort of give Baltimore an awareness of that program set there on a waterfront at Living Classrooms. It's a great organization. It's called Fresh Start. Cheryl Riviere is the program director. Look, your daughter just looked at me like, if he don't get that name right. Thank you, listeners, for joining in and calling in and conversing with us this evening. I want to thank co-executive producer Devonna Bell, producer Iore Odigizuwa, engineer Andre Melton. That's the engineer. Production assistants, Wyman Jones, Allie Post, and show intern, Janelle Ferguson. Also, a big thanks to our guest, Cheryl Riviere. Uh-huh. And just thank you, callers, for calling in and sharing. Sherling is fine. You've been listening to The Relationship Experience on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM, the voice of the community.